I'll stop the share that we've got going on there. All right. Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to another Chem3 Lab. Hope you guys are doing all right. And we have some choices of what we want to do today. So I kind of wanted to check in with everybody. And while I'm checking in with everybody, I'm going to bring the images over here so I can see everybody and see about what we want to do today. Let me start screen sharing with my iPad. And then let's see, how do I do that? Nope, I do know how to do that. Share content, start. Okay, so there's my iPad, we're up and running. First off, there was nothing due for last week, and I'm trying to remember what we did last week, and maybe I need to go back in the notes and look real quick. I think what we did was, that's right, it was all the solubility unknowns. No, that wasn't solubility unknowns we did last week. What did we do last week? It was the unknowns, exactly. And so there was nothing due for the unknowns. I got mixed up between the solubility lab and the solubility unknowns. So there was nothing due from last week from the unknowns lab itself. Oh, where do you find the videos to review? Good question. Okay, so what I can do is put that into here. They are at https://chemed.study. That's where you want to go. So they're all up at chemed.study, and I'll show you exactly where. So if I go to a web browser, and we've got chickens and we've got refrigeration, and we go to chemed.study. So you just type in chemed.study, and it comes up there on the screen, and you hit go. It takes you to the same web page that I had up at Cabrillo. But now what I've got is, if you hit the Chem3L page, there's a new lab, Zoom lab recordings button there. And that takes you to all the different videos that we've got up. And I've got up there the audio only, the video only, or you can pull up the lecture notes and just read the lecture notes if you want. So you can go through the PDF and see all the lecture notes. So they're all up there, or you can watch the entire video recording for the hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is that we ran the lab, and you can watch that video. Or if you want to just listen to it on audio and you don't want to do the whole video thing and you want to look at it with notes, that's all up there too. So hopefully that answers that question, Jennifer. And so chemed.study is where all those things are going up. I'm no longer posting them at the cabrillo.edu site. Cabrillo asked us to stop putting videos up, that it was destabilizing the server up there. It was too much memory for the server to handle. And so we've all instructors have either been putting them up at, I think some instructors have been putting them up at YouTube, and other instructors have been leaving them on the Zoom site. But leaving them on the Zoom site, the Zoom is going to start deleting those after a certain amount of time. And I want mine to be a little bit more permanent. So I'm putting them on my own website is where they're going. Okay. Next question. What else can we do for you today? Let's ask kind of where people are. Maybe you can tell me in the chat where Elizabeth is and where Lucas is in terms of their lecture. Are you guys still doing, you were doing redox reactions. And after redox reactions, I think you move into gas laws. So I just kind of want to see where everybody's at. And we have some options today. Do we have a lab due by tonight then? No, there's no lab due tonight. So we're going to do a new lab, but is there somewhere where we can check to see what assignments we need to turn in and by when? So the answer on that, on assignments, is that the last assignment that I had you guys turn in were all of the solubility lab chemical equations and the net ionic equations and the ionic equations, hopefully. But if you didn't turn in the ionic and you only did the net ionic, then that was the last thing that was due. So the last item that was due last week. That item was from the solubility lab. And the solubility lab was 2 weeks ago. And in that solubility lab, what we did is we had you do 22 equations. And those 22 equations were the precipitates that were formed. And we did the chemical, the ionic equation. That's supposed to be EQ. And the net ionic for all 22. And some people didn't do the ionic equation because the instructions just said the chemical and the net ionic. And so that was due last week. The last lab that we had last week, what we did, we went over the unknown lab. And we talked about how to approach an unknown. But we didn't have anything due. So there was nothing due for that lab. So the last thing that we had due then was that solubility lab with the 22 equations. And most people turned that in. A lot of people emailed it to me. If you didn't email it to me, if you haven't done that yet, please go ahead and do so. I'll accept it. There's no late penalty. I'll take it whenever you get it done. So that would be great. Okay, let me see how I'm doing on addressing questions here now. So Emily's telling me we're doing endothermic, exothermic reactions in Elizabeth's class. That's great. Totally forgot to turn the lab last week. That's okay, William. Go ahead and send it in to me. That's great. Not a problem. Get it to me sometime this week, and we're all good, okay? Sarah, she went over endothermic, exothermic. Great. Enthalpy, and next is gas laws. And okay. So then we have an option, and I'm willing to do either option. Either option is to do the lab that we had scheduled. The lab that we had scheduled was a redox lab. And in that redox lab, what we're looking at is what's called an activity series. And in the activity series, it's developing the activity series. So it's a series of experiments where we take pieces of metal. And when we take the metal, what we do is we then take a chemical and drop the chemical onto the metal. And we see if there's a given chemical reaction once we drop it onto the metal. And we're looking to see, does the metal change colors? Do we get precipitates? From those precipitates, we're gauging how reactive the metal is, and we develop what's called an activity series, which is which metals are more active, more willing to give up electrons than other metals. And we wind up writing some half reactions, talking about the oxidation, the reduction, and we'll do the data workup together. And I've got it all drawn out, so I've got a nice presentation for it. So that's one option. So that's option one. Is the redox reactions. Option two would to be to do gas laws. And in the gas laws, what we do is an experiment where we take and figure out the molar mass of a gas. But in the process of figuring out the molar mass of a gas, before we even get there, we introduce all the gas laws and we develop it sort of from first principles. So it could be used as an introduction in the gas laws since you're not quite there in Elizabeth's class yet. You just finished redox, so that's already done within the class. Going into the gas laws would give us an introduction in the gas laws and allow us to cover that material. And if we skip the redox reactions, then I'm just going to skip them entirely. And that will be the lab that we kind of throw out and to get us back on track and back on schedule. And then we'll be in the same sequence with all the rest of the classes and we'll be sort of caught back up. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. Let's see. So Jennifer says, Lucas already did the exo and endo diagrams and you're doing stoichiometry and activity series. So activity series might be helpful. I mean, it would cover and supplement what Sarah already did. It would help those people who are sort of in Lucas's class. And I've already got it prepared. Sarah, can we do redox this week and gas loss next week? Absolutely. That's exactly the way that I have it scheduled. So I'm happy to do that. And then that covers redox and gas loss for the exam. Yeah, absolutely. We can absolutely do that. And since I've already got it prepared, maybe that's just the right way to go. We'll just jump in and do gas loss. Redox. So we'll jump in and we'll do the redox reactions. Okay, let's call it at that. Let me make sure that I am recording. I am indeed. Okay, and I am going to get my screens set up then to go ahead and jump in and start off with these activity series. Okay, the activity series, let me jump back to here for a second and the lab, not the lab manual. Ooh, that's too big. We want the schedule. And we want to go down and we want to see where that activity series is. It was supposed to be done last week if we were on schedule in our normal regular class, but the PDF is here. So this was the determination of an activity series. And what they wanted us to do, I'm looking to see where the grid is. Here's the grid. So what they wanted us to do was to take zinc metal, silver metal, magnesium metal, iron, and copper. And then we have solutions of copper 2-sulfate, iron 2-sulfate, magnesium 2-sulfate, silver nitrate, and zinc chloride. And they wanted us to react these in a grid and then look to see which ones react. And then they had a series of questions. And I think what we'll do is I'll present the data. We'll present what's going on and explain sort of what's happening within each one of these. And then we'll go through and we'll answer the questions mostly together. And then I'll leave you guys some questions to do on your own. Okay. Sounds good. So let me back up to our notes. And this is going to be the activity series. And what I'm going to do to get us started is to jump back into my notes that I was making earlier today and to copy our experiment and bring it over into our notes. I think that looks like that's going to fit about where I want it. And let's shrink it down so we can see the whole thing. Okay, so here's the experiment that we were going to do. And what we have are a series of solutions. These would have come in the pipettes. Those are the column headers. And we had some metal pieces that are our row headers. And the idea here is that what we would have done is we would have taken each piece of metal, and we would have taken a little piece of sandpaper or steel wool, and the steel wool, we would have abraded the metal to take off the oxide coating off of the metal. So for instance, like on iron, what winds up happening is if we think about the iron as being a thick piece of iron, the iron gets a coating on it all around three-dimensionally, which is iron 3 oxide, so Fe2O3. So this is the Fe2O3 oxide on top of the iron metal itself. And in order for this experiment to work well, what we need to do is we need to take and get all of that oxide coating off the metal in order for the chemical reaction to work, in order to be able to see what it is that we were supposed to do. So we went and we picked each one of these pieces of metal and we polished up that metal using a little bit of steel wool, getting the oxide coating off of each of the metals. So each of the metals, zinc, silver, magnesium, iron, copper, they all develop that oxide coating. And for like zinc, it is just the zinc oxide. For iron, we've got the iron oxide there. For copper, it's the copper oxide. Magnesium, it's the magnesium oxide. These are all plus 2 cations. And so they are all combining 1-to-1 with oxygen, except for iron. Iron goes into its plus three state in its oxidation. And so what we see is rust. Rust is actually Fe2O3, iron oxide, iron three oxide. And so we polish all those oxides off. And then what we do is we take each of the metals, and so this would be our zinc metal, and we place a piece of zinc metal into each of the squares. And then what we're going to do is to take each one of these solutions and transfer each solution, put one drop of each solution on top of the metal. And then we look to see, does a chemical reaction happen or not? And the chemical reactions that we're looking for are changes in color. Sometimes it's gas formation. Mostly it's precipitation of the metal salts precipitating out as a metal without a charge on it, a neutral atomic metal. And so when that metal precipitates out, sometimes like in copper, it can look like copper plating. It can look like the copper is changing the silver or the iron or the magnesium. It's changing it into a copper color as it coats the surface of it. Sometimes it's turning black and dissolving and doing a bunch of different things. And so we're looking for anything that is a change in color, a precipitation, or a gas formation. Any of those three things are sort of indicating that a chemical reaction is taking place when we take the liquid and put the liquid on top of the metal. And any of those reactions that we see, we're noting down as a positive chemical reaction. And that means that a reaction is taking place between the metal and the salt. So the types of reactions that we're looking at, let's get rid of these guys because we don't need these guys down on the bottom. The types of reactions that we're looking for are when we take metal one and we react it with metal two, that is in, most of these are two plus cations. So I'm gonna say it's in a two plus cation. That the chemical reaction that goes forward that happens is a transfer of electrons where metal one becomes the two plus cation and metal two becomes here just a straight up metal, not a salt, but an elemental metal. Okay, so, the way that this is taking place is that if we look at half reactions, the first metal can become an ion, a two plus ion, if it gives up two electrons. And that would be the loss of electrons. Oxidation is lost. This is the oxidation half reaction. If I take and look at a metal that has a two plus cation, and I add two electrons to it, then it can become an elemental metal, and this would be a reduction half reaction. Add those two half reactions together, and when I add them together, what winds up happening is the electrons on both sides cancel each other out. So if I think about these electrons here as being on the reactant side and the product side, I've got a laser pointer now, the reactant side and the product side, then these electrons are canceling each other out as we add the two equations together. And the result of adding the two equations together is what I had up in the beginning. It is metal one plus the metal two, which is in its ionic state, going to form metal one in its ionic state plus metal two, now as a neutral metal. And so there, and if we want to make it a little bit easier to see what's going on, what we can do is take and we can color these metals so that we're tracking sort of what's happening here and where the metal is going and how it's becoming an ion. And metal two in its ionic state, because I used M for everything. And so this just makes it a little bit clearer in terms of what's actually happening there and how the two things are changing. It'll be a little bit clearer when we write out the equations with the actual reactions that are going on here. So what we're going to do is look to see, does that chemical reaction, does zinc, react with copper to sulfate. Let's grab the pointer. Does zinc react with copper to sulfate, and that is the copper to ion, to form zinc ion? So this guy here would give up two electrons, give it up to the copper. The copper would go to copper metal. The zinc would go to zinc ion. And that's the reaction that we're trying to look to see. Does that reaction happen? And we'll note that down where the reactions happen. And then we'll look at all the half reactions and we'll start to make sense out of it. So that's a little background on kind of where we're going there. Okay, so let's take and let's go ahead and do the experiment. So if we're going to do the experiment, then what we need to do is we need to take the copper solution and place it onto the zinc. And as we place it on there, what we look to see is, does a chemical reaction indeed happen? And this one, it does. In this one, what I get is a change of color that happens on the surface of the metal. And that change in color is indicating that a chemical reaction has actually occurred. So what we're going to do is we're going to use a checkbox. We'll use a green check mark to indicate where a chemical reaction has happened. And we'll do the same for the iron sulfate. And so we'll go and we'll grab the iron sulfate and copy it and paste it on. And we'll look to see, does a chemical reaction happen? And in this one, we see some color changes as well. And so I'm scribbling into it a little bit just to indicate where those color changes are happening. And as we get that color change, this is indicating that a chemical reaction has indeed occurred in that box as well. Magnesium, when we take the magnesium sulfate and copy it and paste it into the chemical reaction here, I get no chemical reaction. In this case, they sit on top of each other, and there's no visible change in the magnesium sulfate solution, and there's no visible change on the zinc metal itself. So no visible reaction is occurring. There's no redox reaction occurring at this step. Okay. Let's do the next one. Let's do the silver nitrate. So we'll copy the silver nitrate. We'll paste it in. And my choice in colors here is because the copper sulfate is a blue solution. But the iron sulfate, the magnesium sulfate, the zinc chloride, they're all clear colorless solutions. The only one that has a bit of a tinge to it that's a little bit gray is the silver nitrate. That's oftentimes a little bit gray because of the oxidation of the silver by light. And so that one sometimes has a slightly larger gray cast to it. So these are all supposed to be clear and colorless. The only colored solution is the copper sulfate, which is blue in color, light sky blue in color. Okay, so we needed to see, does a chemical reaction happen in this silver nitrate and zinc reaction? And indeed, we do. We get some precipitation happening in there, some color changes within that solution. And so this is another place where a chemical reaction has happened. And we go down the line and we continue this experiment. So let's go and take and do the next row. We'll take the silver metal. And so each of our check marks are going to tell us where we have chemical reactions. And we would be noting down these color changes in our laboratory notebook. The color changes, I can't recall off the top of my head, so I'm not going to get too into what each color change is. But we'll go down the line and we will copy each of these reagents. Oops. Onto the material below. And the black boxes, the grayed out boxes, are there because we don't expect chemicals to react with themselves. So I don't expect zinc to react with zinc chloride because the two metals are both zinc. They would be competing against each other. And so no visible reaction would be expected there. And so we have basically blocked out the diagonal, which is where a metal would be reacting with its own salt. And we wouldn't see any chemical reaction there, so we don't explore that. Okay, with these, I get no visible reaction across the entire row. Silver metal appears to be completely unreactive with all of these solutions. So this is a row where there's no visible reaction in the whole row. We'll use no visible reaction in the row for that one. Okay, let's take the magnesium metal. And we will copy that and paste it into each spot. That is not magnesium metal. Copy, paste it in. And these pieces of metal that we were working with, they're all pretty tiny. They were all little squares that were just a few millimeters by a few millimeters. Most of the time you were handling them by tweezers and moving them around. And the solutions were in our standard pipettes, and we were dropping these solutions on using our standard pipettes. So now let's grab the solutions. And we will apply the copper sulfate. And with the copper sulfate, we see bubbling coming through this, and we get color changes, and that is a chemical reaction that occurred. So that's another positive result. Let's try the ferrous sulfate, the iron 2 sulfate. The iron 2 sulfate starts to change color, and we get a little bubbling, and indeed, this is a positive chemical reaction as well. We'll try the silver nitrate. And in the silver nitrate, we get some bubbling. Again, we get a positive reaction. And the last one is the zinc chloride. We will copy that, paste zinc in there, and we get some color changes and some bubbling here as well. And this, again, is a positive result. So these are all positive. For reaction. So we have one row, the silver, which has no reactions in it, and the magnesium, in which they all react. Okay, next up, we'll do the iron. So we take our piece of iron foil, and we paste our iron foil in. And we go down the line and we try our different solutions. So we'll try our copper sulfate first. And we find that when we do the copper sulfate here, that there is a chemical reaction, that this has some color changes on the surface of it, and it starts to plate out some copper metal, turns sort of a copper color on top of the iron itself, almost looks like a penny in the way that it starts to plate out on top of that. We will try the magnesium sulfate. And the magnesium sulfate, when we try it, shows no visible reaction. So we'll go on and we'll try the silver. And sometimes we would just put all these solutions on and we give it a little bit of time. And then we come back and we look at it after a little bit of time, because some of these reactions are a little bit slower than others. So we'll put the zinc chloride in here. And what we see is that the iron reacts with the silver. It takes a little bit more time, but we come back and there's some precipitation that has occurred in here. And so we say that that's a positive reaction for the iron with the silver, but the iron with the zinc doesn't do anything. The iron with the zinc stays unreacted. So only two react in that one. Let's move on and try the copper. And very similar to how fast I'm doing it here, this reaction is pretty fast in terms of sitting down and doing it. It takes a little bit of time to polish the metals. And then you just add in all the solutions. And what really takes the most time is taking your laboratory notebook and writing down all the observations in the laboratory notebook and getting all the data in for this one. That's what takes the most time. So we copy, paste that one in, go grab magnesium. We'll apply the magnesium. We'll take the silver. Put that in, and the zinc. And what we find when we do this one is that the only one that reacts after a little bit of time is the silver nitrate. And so this one only has one reaction that takes place. So there's the overall experiment and the number of reactions that we get. Once we make all the physical observations, the next thing is to start addressing the questions. So what I want to do, let's skip back to here and look and see what they want us to do question wise. So write oxidation and reduction half reactions for each metal in the spaces provided next to the table. So what they are wanting to do here for each metal, oxidation and reduction half reactions, is for the metal itself. So I think that what they wanted in this table, let me go and grab the table that we just used here. We'll take and we'll show what they wanted to do. And we'll put it in down here. So the first thing that they asked us to do, and I'm going to push it all the way over and we'll get rid of our metals, is for each of the metals, and these are our metals, they wanted us to write oxidation and reduction half reactions for these. And so what we'll do is we'll take and we'll do zinc first, that zinc can form a zinc 2+ ion, giving up 2 electrons. And that one, let's remember that oxidation is loss. And in that loss sense, what we're saying is that electrons are a product. And maybe I shouldn't draw it that way. Maybe what I should draw is electrons as a product. And that a reduction is gain. And this would be an electron as a reactant. So depending upon what side of the arrow the electron is on, whether it's a product indicates loss, or a reactant, which indicates a gain. Okay, so when we're looking at the zinc, and we're going from zinc metal to zinc 2+ ion, plus 2 electrons. The electrons here are a product, and that the zinc has lost 2 electrons. And in that sense, this is the oxidation half reaction. If we turn the half reaction around and we write it the other way, and we say zinc 2+ plus 2 electrons goes to form zinc metal, then we've written it as a reduction, that the metal has been reduced, the zinc 2+ has gained 2 electrons to become a zinc metal. So we have the oxidation half reaction and the reduction half reaction in each one of these. And what we're going to do is we're just going to write each one of these half reactions for each metal. And we'll go down the line and write each one of these. So we've done the zinc. Now we're going to do for the silver. But what we need to do is we need to be careful with silver, because notice that silver is the only metal here that is not a 2+ cation. So copper is a 2+, iron is a 2+, magnesium is a 2+, zinc is a 2+. Silver is the only one that is a +1 ion. So when we write this reaction, and you know what I'm gonna do? Let's do this. Oxidations sort of, in my brain, kind of wanna be red. Let me see if I can do this, and we'll do it in color. So that as we go down, we can track each oxidation and each reduction. So let's style this and style our oxidations in red. And let's style our reductions in blue so that we'll be consistent. So our reduction, let's do it in the lighter blue. That looks better. We'll move that over a little bit. So there we've got our reduction half reaction. Okay, so we're gonna do the same thing. Silver, let's see, I just heard something pop in and out. Either somebody was jumping in and out of the lecture or, no, we're all good, no questions. Everybody's doing okay? I should check in. Make sure everything's looking all right for you guys. Cool, okay. So silver, what we're going to do is we're gonna go from silver metal, this is the oxidation is lost. We'll go from silver metal to the silver ion, +1, plus, it only gets one electron that comes off as the product. When we switch and we turn it around, it would be the silver ion plus an electron goes to form silver metal. So that would be the reduction half reaction. So we have our oxidation and our reduction. And each of these is very similar. So magnesium is going to go from magnesium metal to magnesium ion. It's in group 2A, so it becomes a 2 plus, and we get two electrons. And when we turn it around, we just turn around the reaction. Magnesium 2 plus, plus two electrons, goes to form magnesium metal. Iron, similarly, we take the iron, forms iron 2 plus, plus two electrons. Turn it around, do the reduction half reaction. That is iron 2 plus, plus two electrons, goes to form solid iron. And the last one, copper. Copper goes to form copper 2 plus, plus two electrons. And turning it around for the reduction, copper 2 plus, plus two electrons, goes to form copper metal. Okay, so we have each of the half reactions that we're going to use within our experiment. Now what we need to do is, let's take a look and go see what's the next question they want us to deal with in terms of that data. Okay, question number one, read across each row of table 34.1, that's the table that we did, count the number of reactions that each metal undergoes with the metal salts. Order them according to reactivity. This is called an activity series. So what we're going to do here is we're going to order these metals in order of how many reactions they have. So we're going to go back and look at the table, and we're looking across, they said to look across each row. So let's go back to our chemical reaction and look at each row and see how many reactions occurred in each row. So basically what I'm doing is I'm looking at each of the check marks, 1, 2, 3, that this row had three reactions that occurred within it. There was 0 in the no visible reaction row. There was 4 in the all positive row. And then as I go down and I look at the iron, there is only 2 reactions in the iron. So we'll catch those 2. And there is only 1 reaction that's happening in the copper column. So we can see that we've got a clear indication here that we've got 3, 0, 4, 2, 1, that they're decreasing. They're going from 4 to 3 to 2 to 1 to 0. And that we can list these in order of which ones have the most reactions as we look through the column. So let's take that. Let's go and answer that question. So this is question number one. What we want to do is rank metals based on number of reactions in each row. And so our metals list that we had in terms of rows, let's see, which way did they have them listed? I'm gonna look back. We had them in order of zinc and then silver, and then magnesium, iron, and copper was the last ones. And the numbers of reactions that we had for each of these were, go back to our positive reactions. We had 4 for the magnesium. We had 3 for the zinc. We had 2 for the iron, 1 for the copper, and 0 for the silver. So in terms of rearranging these, let's rearrange these in an order where the most number of reactions, magnesium is 4, zinc is 3, iron is 2, copper is 1, and silver had 0. So we've ordered them now in our 4, 3, 2, 1, and 0. And each one of these reactions, what was occurring in each one of these reactions was the magnesium going to form magnesium 2 plus plus 2 electrons. This was the oxidation. So this is how many times we saw a metal oxidized is what we're looking at here. Number of times we saw oxidized. And so we're writing down each one of these equations. So zinc, and I know it didn't ask us to write down these equations, but I think it's helpful for me, and I hope it's helpful for you, to think about these in terms of the actual reaction occurring and how many times we see that reaction occur. So we see that zinc going from zinc 2 plus plus 2 electrons. We see the iron going to iron 2 plus plus 2 electrons. Each one of these are the oxidations. We see the copper going to copper 2 plus plus 2 electrons. And we never saw the silver going to silver plus 1 plus an electron. So that reaction never happened. That's what's indicated by the 0 times that we saw that, which means that these metals are sort of listed in the order of, we can think of it as either increasing or decreasing activity, that I'll write it this way, increasing activity. And by activity, what we're saying is that activity is the ability to be oxidized, to undergo the oxidation reaction. Oxidation is lost. So the more active it is, the more likely it is for the metal to be oxidized, to undergo that oxidation reaction. Okay? Everybody good so far? Sort of understanding what we're setting up here and doing? Okay, cool. Stop me at any point if you have questions. So if something's not making sense, then I want to make sure that we get it fixed before we go on too far. Okay, let's look at question number 2. So we got to go back to the setup. Question number 2 says, read down the rows of table 34.1. And so they say down the rows. What they mean is down a column, because they said across the row. So now we're going to go down a column. Count the number of reactions that each metal ion undergoes and order them according to reactivity. So now we're going to see how reactive each metal ion is by looking and going down the row and figuring out which ones have the most reactions down a row. So let's go back to our experiment and analyze it based on our experiment. Here's where we got to go. Okay, so down a row, what we're doing is, column actually is what they meant to say. And we're looking at how many check marks there are in the columns. So let's switch to a blue color here to denote that I see 3 reactions in the first column. I see 2 reactions in the second column, 0 in the third column, 4 in the fourth column, and only 1 in the fifth column. So that means that we can take now each one of these ions, the copper 2 plus, the iron 2 plus, the magnesium 2 plus, and we can go and we can orient those in order of the number of times that we're seeing them react. So let's go and do that. So similarly to what we did here in question number 1, we're going to rank the ions based on the number of reactions in each column. Let's start it on a new page. So this is number 2. Rank the ions in the number of reactions in each column. Okay, and so in terms of what we had in the columns, let's take our data and we will use the data that we had. We were looking at the column headers. So this was copper 2 plus, this was iron 2 plus, magnesium 2 plus, silver 2 plus, plus one, and zinc 2 plus. And the number of reactions that we saw in each one of these, the copper had 3, the iron had 2, the magnesium had 0, the silver had 4, and the zinc had 1. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to list these in the same sort of table format that we had before, starting off with the most active. So what we have is we have the Ag plus, the silver cation, and that had 4 times that we saw that reaction. And that reaction was the silver reacting with an electron to go and form silver metal. And these are the reductions. So we saw silver reduced 4 times across all 4 reactions. The next one, number 3, was the copper. This is copper 2 plus. And copper 2 plus underwent a reaction with 2 electrons to form the copper metal. Next up, we've got 2 for the iron 2 plus. So iron went from 2 plus plus 2 electrons to form the iron metal. And what do we have? We have zinc. So zinc 2 plus reacted here to form zinc 2 plus plus 2 electrons to form zinc metal. And the last one was magnesium, which we never saw undergo this reaction. So magnesium 2 plus plus 2 electrons going to form magnesium metal. And this is a reaction that did not occur, that we didn't see. And so what we have here, similarly to the activity series where we have increasing activity, which was an increasing ability to be oxidized, this is increasing reactivity. So here this is increasing reactivity, which was the reduction reaction, the ability to be reduced. So there's the answer to question number 2, is setting up each of these reductions and running out the half reactions. Again, they didn't ask us for the half reactions, but I think it's important to kind of see what those half reactions are as we're writing them out and understanding the question. Okay, let's jump back. Let's see what question 3 is. Compare the reactivity of the metal ions to that of the metals. What are the similarities and what are the differences? Okay, so what they're asking now is they're asking me to take this list that I have of the metals. So let's copy this. And we'll put it down here. This is the list of metals. This is the activity series. Where this is increasing in activity. And now we're going to go get the list of ions. And what we're going to do is to look at the reactivity series. So let's go grab that list here. And we may want to restructure this a little bit. Copy. We'll grab it in here and we'll paste it in here because it's too big compared to our other table. So let's move it over and we'll just rewrite it and we'll get it in here kind of in a nice way. And I'm noticing that I blew it, and you guys didn't tell me that I blew it. I grabbed just the list, but not the ranked list. Let's go back up and grab the ranked list. I grabbed the wrong thing. It's this list that we want, because this is our organized list. That's much better. Now it's in order with the number of reactions that are occurring there. Okay, and we're going to rewrite this other list that this is silver ion, copper 2+, iron 2+, zinc 2+, and magnesium 2+. Okay, so now we can clean everything up. We can get rid of this. That was supposed to be delete. Hey, come on. Okay. And that this reactivity series is going in the most reactive. So these are the most likely, when we look at the metals, that these are the most likely to be oxidized. So this is our oxidation. And oxidation we did in red. So this is most likely to be oxidized. That's what that list is showing us. And the list on the other side is the list of most likely to be reduced. And what do we notice about these two series? What are we seeing here in terms of comparing these two series? What's interesting about this series? They're reversed. Yeah, Brandon, excellent. Absolutely. They are absolutely reversed. So the two series are reversed. And what we're saying is that a metal which is most likely to be oxidized is going to be the least likely to be reduced. So these lists are opposite. So what we would say here is that if we were to look at magnesium, that while magnesium is most likely to be oxidized, as we swap down and look at it down here, it's least likely to be reduced. And what that's telling us is that it's telling us that magnesium really does not want the electrons, that magnesium would prefer to be in a magnesium 2+ state and not as magnesium metal. That as magnesium metal, it's very uncomfortable having those two electrons, and it would very much rather react with something and give up those electrons than the other metals. That it's much more likely to give up its electrons than the other metals. And once it does give up those electrons, it's not likely to take them back. That's what we're seeing. And that's why we're seeing that these two things are reversed. And so this makes up an activity series, essentially. It tells us which metals are more reactive than other metals. And it also tells us which ions are more reactive than other ions, and that they are absolutely 100% reversed. So we only really need one of these series to be able to make all the decisions that we need to be able to make, because we know that they're just the reverse of each other. And that kind of makes sense. Everybody with me? In terms of understanding what these two lists are, what these tables are? Okay, I'm checking over here, looking at my screens. I'm seeing the same three people replying all the time. I know the rest of you can find a thumbs up button, probably, more than likely. If you try there, okay, Brandon's got it. All right, I'll take the one extra, cool. There's Mary, Hunter, and William, okay, nice. Let's go get the next question, see what we need to do next. So this was question number three. I'm doing all your work for you. You should be thankful. I'm gonna leave you some work. I'm not gonna do everything. I'm gonna give you some a little bit. Okay, let's go see what the next question is, number four. It's just one of the things that I would have done this in class anyway. So to be clear, that when we do the activity series, I find this lab to not be very clear in its questions or its instructions. And I find that it's very helpful to walk through these questions anyway as a group to make sure that we're all on the same page and understanding, because there's just not enough explanation in this lab. And so this is what I would have done in lab anyway. I would have had you guys do all the experiment, take all the data, and then we would have sat down and we would have answered these questions together. And then we would have just checked off the lab book anyway. So I'm not doing anything that I wouldn't have done anyway. It's just the way that I like to walk through this lab to make sure that we're all on the same page once we get all the data. Okay, next question. Number four, for each reaction you observe, a metal is oxidized. That is, it gives away its electrons. In doing so, the metal becomes a metal ion. Write an oxidation half reaction for each reaction you observed. Write them in order of reactivity with the most reactive first. So this is taking the metal, oxidizing it to become the metal ion. And they want us to do that for each of these. We already did it. We can just go grab it. It was part of what I did when I wrote out these. So they're asking, what they're asking for is they're asking for each of these. They're wanting to write out each of the oxidation reactions, but they're doing it separate from when we ranked them. And I felt that it was more appropriate to put that next to it as it was being ranked so that we understood what reaction it was that we were talking about. So we weren't just talking about a dissociated metal. We weren't just talking about something that was a list of metals, but we actually had a reaction in mind of what it was that we were ranking. So we can go and we can grab this list. And we'll take the whole list, copy it, and this is question number four, where they want us to write each oxidation reaction. And this should be oxidation half reaction observed. And I think it said to do it in order. Let's check and see. So write an oxidation half reaction for each. Write them in order of reactivity with the most reactive first. And I think that that's what we did because, yeah, they were already ranked. So the most reactive first. So we already ranked them. So there they are. So just to be clear, that ranking was, we saw this is the number of reactions. That we observed. We observed this one 4 times, 3 times, 2 times, 1 time, and 0. So technically we wouldn't have written the silver one because they only asked us to write the half reactions for those reactions that we observed, and we never observed the last one. But that doesn't mean that we can't write it just so that we know what that half reaction is. And I'm guessing that when I get to question five, they're probably going to want me to do the same thing for the reductions. So let's go see if that is indeed what they want us to do. For each reaction, you observe a metal ion is reduced. That is, the metal ion gains electrons. In doing so, the metal ion becomes a metal atom. Write the reduction half reactions and write them in order of reactivity, the most reactive first. And I believe that that is indeed what we had here. So these reactions here, these are the reduction half reactions, and they are ranked in order with the most reactive first going to the least reactive. So we're going to copy all of these. And we'll take them down and we'll write them into here. So this was, write the observed reduction half reactions in order of most reactive. Okay, so again, this is the number of reactions observed. So we saw the first one, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we never saw the magnesium. This was never observed. But similarly to the last question, we can still write its half reaction. So again, these are the reduction half reactions where reduction is gain. So each one of these metals is gaining an electron in order to become, each one of these ions is gaining an electron in order to become a metal. Let's say that one more time. Each one of these ions is gaining an electron as a reactant to become a metal. So that's where we're at. Next one, 6. Examine your two lists of half reactions and describe how each list can be used to predict whether a reaction will occur between a metal and a metal ion. So they want us to now take these two lists and figure out how we can use the lists. So let's take these two lists. We'll just copy this whole thing. We'll clean it up once we get to where we're going with it. So this is question number 6. Explain how the activity lists can be used. To predict activity or to predict reactivity. Okay, let's paste it in here. And let's clean it up a little bit because we got a lot of stuff going on now. Okay, so we've got two lists. We've got the list of metals and we've got the list of ions. And in the list of metals, in the list of ions, we know that they run reverse. And that what we're seeing here is that magnesium being most likely to be oxidized, if magnesium reacts with any one of these metals that come below it, it will give up its electrons. So in essence, what we're saying is that magnesium here, if magnesium is to react with any metal below it, so it will react with all of these metals in their ion state in order to become an ion itself. And that is true of any of these metals, that if I take and I look at copper, for instance, copper, if we choose sort of a copper color and we say here, copper will only react with metals that come below it in the activity series. So if I'm looking at magnesium and I'm saying, all right, magnesium wants to undergo an oxidation where it becomes a magnesium 2 plus cation plus 2 electrons, that it will react with any of the ions that come below it, for instance, zinc 2 plus, plus 2 electrons, going to make zinc metal, that these two, because magnesium is above zinc in the table, that magnesium is more reactive. Magnesium is more likely to be oxidized. And therefore, what we're doing is we're writing, we said oxidation was going to be the red, so this is the oxidation. Blue was the reduction. And the result would be the chemical reaction where the two add together, canceling out the two electrons, because it's like math, adding one to each side of an equation, or in this case, adding two to each side of an equation. The twos cancel each other out. So the two electrons are canceling each other out. And what I wind up getting is I wind up getting that magnesium will react with zinc 2 plus, going to form magnesium 2 plus, plus the zinc metal. And that this reaction would be observed. So basically, we could then take and we could ask each question here. We could ask another question. Let's see, let's paste this table in one more time. Oh, I got the whole table. That's not what I want. Let's take the cleaned up table. And then we'll see how to maybe use this. And we can ask a couple of questions. Okay, so maybe what I can ask is, will iron react with zinc 2 plus? So this is just seeing if we understand how to use the table. So if I'm asking, will iron react with zinc 2 plus? What I would do is I would locate iron and I would locate zinc. And what I find is that the zinc is above the iron in the table. And so I would not expect this reaction to take place because the zinc is above the iron in the table. Basically, what we can do is, in order for the iron to react, because these tables are going at opposites, what I'm looking at is that magnesium will react with anything that is across it. Let's see, I'm doing oxidation, so maybe I do this in red. Magnesium will react with each one of these things that are below it in the table, and that these will all react, but it will not react with itself. So I sort of cut off at that point. Zinc, or iron, if we stick with iron, iron will react with anything that is below it in the table. So the iron is only going to react with the silver and the copper, and it won't react with itself. It is only going to react with those metals that are below it in the table, the copper and the silver, essentially. And so would it react with the zinc when the zinc is above it in the table? And the answer is no. No, that iron is below zinc in the activity series. And so no, I wouldn't expect a reaction between iron and zinc in that way. What about if I ask, do I expect what do I want to do here? Do I expect silver will silver metal react with, let's do magnesium metal. What about that one? Do I expect silver, if I'm looking at the activity series, do I expect silver to react with magnesium metal? With magnesium 2 plus ion? I'm sorry. So again, what we're doing is we're locating silver. We're saying, okay, here's my silver and magnesium, which is sitting up here. And do I expect the silver to react with the magnesium 2 plus? Remember that what has to happen in order for the silver to react with a magnesium 2 plus ion is that the silver would have to be above magnesium in the table. and the silver is below magnesium in the table. Magnesium is more active. So magnesium is more likely to be oxidized than silver. That's what we say within this table. Magnesium is more likely to be oxidized. And what that means is that magnesium will go to magnesium 2 plus, plus 2 electrons, that's the oxidation, than is silver. So that so that in this chemical reaction, magnesium is going to want to stay in its oxidized state, that it is more likely to be oxidized than is silver. So let's do one more ABC, and we'll ask the question here, what about will zinc react with copper 2 plus? What about now? So if I back up and I pick out my two metals, and I'm asking now this time, will zinc metal, so here's my zinc metal, react with, we'll take a copper color, with copper 2 plus. And so looking at where they are in the table, I'm asking, is the zinc metal going to react with copper 2 plus? And because zinc is above in the table, so zinc is above copper, then the answer here is yes, that I expect zinc to actually react with copper 2 plus. So this one is a yes. So we're just looking to see when we're given two metals, and what we want to do is we want to look at where the metal is located in the table and see if the metal is above the other metal's ion in the table. And if it is, then we expect to see a chemical reaction. If it's not, then we don't expect to see a chemical reaction. So that's how we're using the lists there. All right, let's see what the next question is that they want us to do. Question number 7 is, add the half reactions to obtain the net ionic equations for each of the reactions that you observed. Use either list and choose two half reactions, reverse the lower list. It just wants us to write the half reactions for every reaction that we observed. So if we go back and we kind of look at where we're at and see how many reactions we actually had, here we go. We had a total number of 10 reactions total that we've got to do. And the way that I like to do these when I write them out in this way is to just pick one metal and do all the reactions for one metal and then to step it down from there. So let's choose in the activity series, since magnesium was highest in the activity series, let's choose the magnesium first. And I guess we need, sorry, I'm scrolling so fast. I guess we need, if we're going to do magnesium, we need to look at the order in which things are happening. So magnesium here is reacting with copper, iron, silver, and then zinc. And so let's do them in that order. And so we'll do the first one. We'll do the magnesium metal with the copper sulfate. So let's go down, magnesium metal with copper sulfate. This is question number 7. Write the half reactions and add to give the net, I guess it is the net ionic equation for all 10 reactions observed. And the first reaction that we did, the first reaction was with magnesium metal reacting with copper 2-sulfate, going to form, and this is what we literally did, is we formed magnesium sulfate plus copper metal. And we didn't think of it this way, but I want to tie it into lecture. And so it's important to sort of tie this reaction into the reactions that you guys are doing in lecture. And if you look at this reaction, let me ask you, can you tell me what type of chemical reaction this is? So I know that you've studied named chemical reactions. You know what a combustion is. You know what a double displacement is. You know what a single replacement is, a decomposition, and the other one is a combination reaction. So those are all a series of reactions that you know that are named reactions. Do you see this reaction in any one of those five named reactions of what style of reaction this is? Anybody want to throw it into the chat? Or maybe you haven't talked about those five different chemical reactions. Single replacement. Yeah, Sarah, exactly. Thank you. So, okay, I'm not crazy. I thought that was where you should have been already. That's good. Excellent. Sarah, perfect. This is a single replacement reaction. So what's happening is the magnesium is replacing the copper to become magnesium sulfate. And the copper is getting bumped out and becoming copper metal. And that is a single replacement. This is a good thing to be able to do, is to look at a chemical equation and be able to put a name to it and know what type it is. So this is a single replacement. And the single replacement reactions are a type of redox reaction. And so that's what we're doing here, is that these are redox reactions. And they want us to take and write these half reactions. And so we can take this and write the half reaction from this. This is the first one that we'll do. And let's write the oxidation first. We said we would write the oxidations in red. So the oxidation is magnesium going to form magnesium 2 plus, plus 2 electrons. So there's the oxidation. Let's write the reaction, reduction half reaction. The reduction is the copper, which is a 2 plus ion from the copper sulfate, which is receiving 2 electrons and becoming a copper metal. And when we take and we add those two reactions together, we add the two half cells. I should have said this is the reduction. Then the number of electrons cancels each other out. And as we cancel the electrons, we just add the species that are remaining. And what we get is that we get magnesium goes to form magnesium 2 plus. This is plus the copper 2 plus going to form copper metal. And that is the net of the reaction. So that's the first one. 10 more to go. So we take the next reaction that would be with magnesium. So let's call this A. Let's do B. The next one would have been magnesium metal reacting with, let's see, what ferrous sulfate. So magnesium metal reacting with ferrous sulfate, that is the iron 2 sulfate, going to form magnesium sulfate plus iron metal. So those are that's the next one. And if we wanted to put states on this, the magnesium was solid, the ferric sulfate is aqueous. Magnesium sulfate, aqueous, the iron is a solid metal. So that we have our states there. And again, this is the full chemical equation, which is showing the single replacement of the magnesium replacing the iron in the iron 2 sulfate. So we write out the two half reactions. Magnesium going to form magnesium 2 plus, plus 2 electrons. That's our oxidation. Our reduction is then the iron in its 2 plus state plus 2 electrons going to form iron in its solid form. This is the reduction. So we have the oxidation and the reduction. We add those two reactions together canceling out the two electrons as they cancel out. And then we can write out the net ionic equation. So the net ionic equation is going to have the magnesium going to form magnesium 2+, and it is reacting with the iron 2+, going to form iron metal. So we can put each of the states in there if we want to. And that would be the net reaction. Let's see, net ionic equation. Okay, so that's B. Question, William, should we always put the states? No, it's not necessary. I don't know. That's a question for Elizabeth and Lucas and whether they're going to have you put the states or not. I don't think this lab was requesting you to put states in the lab for this one. It's really just trying to get you to have each of the oxidation and reduction. However, the states are a matter of whether it's a metal or it's an ion. If it's an ion, it's going to be aqueous. If it's a metal, it's going to be in a solid state. So pretty easy to pick out the states in this one. All right, let's do ABC. Let's do C. C is one more here. C is magnesium reacting with silver. This is a good one to do with the silver nitrate. So this is the solid, the aqueous, going to form magnesium nitrate. We need two of those, plus we're getting silver metal. And if we want to balance this chemical equation and we look at it, we see that this chemical equation is not balanced. And why did I use two nitrates this time? Well, because magnesium is a 2+ cation and nitrate is a -1 anion. So when I bring those together, I need to bring them together in a 2-to-1 ratio in order to get the two negative charges to match the two positive charges. So thus the subscript, which means that I need to have two nitrates. So I'll need a 2 over there, and giving me 2 silvers, I'll have to have a 2 over there as well. So now my equation is balanced out, but that's going to help me to understand my redox reaction as I go and start to write this redox reaction. So let's write the oxidation. The oxidation is not changing. It is magnesium going to magnesium 2+, plus 2 electrons. The reduction is, however, a little bit different. The reduction is silver, which is in a +1 state, plus 1 electron, going to form silver metal. But the problem is now that when I go to add these two half cells, the two half cells don't add because I've got 2 electrons and 1 electron, and they don't cancel out entirely. And I need them to cancel out entirely. So what I need to do is I need to balance it in terms of the number of electrons. So when we balance a redox reaction, redox reactions are always balanced in the number of electrons that are being gained or lost. We need to match them so that the electrons cancel out in the oxidation and in the reduction half reactions. And to make that balance, what I do is I go in and I change the coefficient and throw in a 2 coefficient in front of each one of these species. The 2 coefficient, and I just apply it across the entire equation. The 2 coefficient now balances the number of electrons such that the number of electrons in the oxidation and the reduction each cancel each other out. I set them in opposite. Oxidation in the top reaction, reduction in the half reaction. They now cancel, and I can write the overall equation. Magnesium going to form magnesium in its 2+ state is reacting with 2 silvers, 2 silver ions, and going to form 2 silver metals. And so the equation, this is now the net ionic, is balanced in the number of electrons. Okay, how's that looking? Everybody seeing sort of what it is I want you to do? Think you guys could reproduce that for the rest of them as we go through and do it? I think you can. So I think that that's the only thing that I would have you do to finish out these equations is just finish out the last of these equations. We've done 3 out of 10. Finish the last 7 out of 10 and finish them up and just send them to me. And I think that would do it. That was the last question that was on this. There was a now it's your turn part where they wanted you to use some consumer goods like pennies, some iron from like a nail or something, a zinc coated nail in order to get the zinc. There was a number of different consumer goods that they wanted you to go back and test and then to predict whether or not they would react with the solutions. So we would have made some of these available to you in the classroom and you would have tried them. Should you do the equations in your lab notebook? You don't have to. You can do them on separate sheets of paper. It's not necessary to actually do them in your lab notebook. And then you could just take a picture of it. And when you name the file and you send it to me, please name the file with your last name and put activity lab or activity series lab on it so that I know what's coming in. Okay, should we always be printing out our labs and papers and worksheets so that we have them and can follow along easier? That's up to you guys. I tried to give you as much information as I can and make it easier for you to follow. If you think that that makes it easier, then by all means, go ahead and print it out. If you don't print it out, I know that most of you are probably using Zoom on a single screen, a single monitor. So trying to have the Zoom up, follow what I'm doing, and see the online materials is going to be extraordinarily difficult. I'm working here with a couple of monitors, which makes it a little bit easier for me. But yeah, if you print them out, that's probably a little bit easier. I haven't been asking you guys to do that because sometimes I don't know what I'm going to do. Like today, I didn't know if I was going to do the activity series or if I was going to do the gas laws. And I was sort of leaving it up to you to make sure I was doing what was working for you and most helpful to you for class. So William, let's see, or just kind of follow along. Hang on, I'm trying to read the questions here. Just follow along Zoom lecture and then write what we can. Like today, I didn't have the grid. Not sure if others printed out. Yeah. I'm recording the sessions and putting the sessions back up and putting the notes back up online. And so if you want to, for the homework component, you can always go back and rewatch the lecture. You can always just pull the notes up, which pull up really fast. So if you don't want to watch another hour and a half lecture, which you can zoom through, by the way. So it's a streaming video. So you can move to the end of the video if you want and find the right section where you want. You can also just pull up the notes that I've taken down and you can use those to reference back to and make your job a little bit easier. So William, those notes are always available online as well, separate from the lecture itself. I'm posting everything and giving you guys everything that I can. In terms of materials. Okay. I hope that answers the question. Awesome. Okay. Anything else that you guys feel like you want to ask? Or this was a bit of a shorter lab. I mean, we did an hour and a half. That's a pretty good video. I mean, a pretty long time to sit here and be talking without you guys actively doing something and just watching. And so I don't want to get them too long, but I'm also happy